Let's talk about the best thing, and it will not cost a cent. Just a little time as we talk about God's Word.
Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words,
wonderful words of life.
For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on my high places. Psalm 18, verses 31 through 34.
Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse, and I'm Jeff Archie. This is a program where we spend just a few moments looking at the precious book divine, God's Word, and examining book, chapter, and verse. I hope you will tune in each week as we look at God's Word together. Thanks for joining me today. Please know that at the end of our broadcast, we will offer Bible study material absolutely free so that you may continue your studies in God's Word in the privacy of your home. So please, stay tuned, and thanks again. Our book, chapter, and verse today will come from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. If you'd like to reach for your Bibles, we'll look at that scripture together. In this scripture, Timothy says, or rather Paul is saying unto Timothy, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And again, that's 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. Now in verse 14, notice the conjunction, but. The writer Paul reminds Timothy to hold on to what he has learned. The best thing is before him. Not only should Timothy learn, but he must be assured of it and know it. Let us ask ourselves, why do we believe what we believe? Have you ever wondered about the things you've been taught about religion or about church and wonder if it is true? In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, Paul says, "Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good." Let's prove all things today with book, chapter, and verse from God's Word. Let's go back and look at 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15 for just a moment. Let's look at the best thing to learn. That's the Scriptures. The word child here refers to an unborn child in Luke 1, 41 or 44, maybe a newborn child in Luke chapter 2 and verse 12 concerning Christ, and Acts 7 and verse 19, the young children, but in context, the newborns during the time of Pharaoh during the birth of Moses. Let's think also about a babe in Christ of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. The infants that came before Christ in Luke 18 and verse 15. The word child is used in a lot of different ways. For Timothy, we see him as a young man learning from his grandmother and his mother, as in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, and he also learned from the Apostle Paul. Learning from his grandmother and his mother was a charge under the law. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 19 and 20, Moses told the children of Israel, "And you shall teach them your children," speaking of God's law and His ordinances, His commandments, "speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates." Notice, when you rise in the morning, when you walk during the day, when you sit down, when you lie down, God's Word was to be part of the family in every which way. Interestingly enough, is all the research in recent years that a child learns while carried by the mother prior to birth. And once again, God's Word affirms something that is discovered centuries later. Listen to what Paul also told Timothy earlier in 2 Timothy 1:13. "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." So Timothy is learning from his grandmother and mother and learning from Paul. As we think about that influence, the influence that you have in your family, and yet where we learn about Scripture elsewhere. Now let's talk a little bit about the Scripture. Now in our context of 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's referring to the Old Testament. In Psalm 19 and verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." And when Jesus walked on this earth, in John 5, 39 and 40, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life." So when we talk about the best place, we learn from the best place, the Scriptures. And I was thinking of all the opportunities as a child. The first song I learned, probably "Jesus Loves Me" or "Baby Moses." Early memory work, some of the earlier texts that I learned, like Mark 16, 16 and others. As a child, we learn those things. It's amazing what children can learn and retain today. There are many more opportunities that we can think about. And from a child, we're able to learn. I still find it rather interesting that when people have computer problems, they look for a child, a young person, because they're knowledgeable of those things. And what we learn of a child makes a great, great difference. We can never underestimate the knowledge of learning, and especially of children. Now, the best thing to learn, of course, the Scriptures. But verse 16, the best thing to convict us, the Scriptures. Now, in the context of verse 15, that's referring to the Old Testament. From a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures. But in verse 16 would address the New Testament as well. as he would say, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. About this time, several books were already penned. The Gospels were penned. The life of Christ was being taught. And the apostles also spoke as the Spirit directed. So at this point, the New Testament is not complete, but yet as they would speak, as the Spirit directed, they would know the truth. And the books that were penned were inspired. Listen to 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You see, it wasn't by the will of man things were penned. It was by the Holy Spirit guiding those men of old. Listen to Peter now in 2 Peter chapter 3, 15 and 16. Peter says, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also according to the wisdom given unto him hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do the other Scriptures unto their own destruction. Notice he said these things are written. These are Scriptures. This epistle that I've written unto you. So again, during the first century, the Bible was being written. And when you and I look at verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And man simply penned it, wrote it, and have had it available for generations. Now let's spend a little bit of time looking at verse 16 and let's define some terms. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration literally means God breathed. As if God would take the word or God would breathe those words out and man would pen those words. From the end of Genesis to the amen of the Revelation, God's word is inspired of God. The words are God breathed and penned by inspiration. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Dear friend, listen to Paul in 1 Timothy 4:16. Unto Timothy again, take heed unto you thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Sometimes people think, well, doctrine is not important. We need to think about the man and not the plan. But without the man, we wouldn't know the plan. And what plan would there be without the man, Jesus Christ? And so doctrine is important. Let me share something with you. When a person says doctrine's not important, it really doesn't matter what you believe. Well, they're teaching that. Do you know another word for doctrine? It's teaching. So in essence, someone is teaching that teaching is not important. That doesn't stand. We understand doctrine is important. Now let's look at the next word here in 2 Timothy 3 and 16, for reproof. Another word would be for conviction. We can know what is not right. Some of our best lessons are learned from things that are simply not right. We are convicted. This is not right. When we learn of the wrong that a person does, if a person murders, if a person commits a felony, we learn from them that we don't want to do that. We learn from the wrong that we may be right. How about the word correction? God's word allows us correction or to be upright or to improve. I like the way a scholar by the last name of Clark said this, for restoring things to their proper uses and places, correcting false notions and mistaken views. We're able to grow with God's word. Surely there have been things that you and I have a viewpoint on that as we study and learn, we realize I shouldn't hold to that. We may be very sincere. We may mean well in every aspect. But yet when we take a look and realize that word correction corrects us in a better way and a better walk. I think about the television shows that talk about those that are in the service, in the military, and they work on correcting them to do it just right. I was watching sometime back an old episode of Gomer Pyle and remembered how Sergeant Carter would just stay on him constantly, and Gomer's reasoning was, he wants to make me the best. God wants us to be the best. When we're corrected, that helps us to grow. Now, staying in the text, let's define instruction in righteousness. I like the definition of this word. It's a little comprehensive, but let's see if we can break it down a little. It's the idea that the whole training and education of children, which relates to the cultivation of mind and morals, and it employs for this purpose, now it commands and admonishes, now there is reproof and punishment. And so, in other words, as we learn along the way, we're admonished, sometimes we're punished, but whatever, this allows us to have our souls cultivated, especially by correcting mistakes and curbing our passions. Therefore, instruction which aims at the increase of virtue. In biblical usage, it's like a chastisement or a chastening. Now, I've read it put this way by a writer named Wiersbe. Doctrine is what is right. When we follow doctrine, we're going to do the right thing. Reproof is what is not right. We learn the wrong things, what not to do, if you will. Correction, how to get right. When I learn what is right and know what is not right, then the idea of correction from the Scriptures is how to get right. And instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. Now, very quickly, doctrine is what is right. And we're able to go from there and to go to reprove what is not right. Correction, how to get it right. Instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. That's why the Scriptures are the best thing to correct our lives. Now let's look at verse 17. The best thing to know, the Scriptures. Back to verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. By knowing the Scriptures, we're able to mature, to be equipped. In other words, we have the equipment. It is complete and sufficient to do the job. I have a friend that works on power lines for an electric company in Alabama. And I know that he has to have his equipment prepared and ready every time he goes out on a job. He has to have his equipment ready, and he has to know how to use that equipment. And the more that he knows how to use that equipment, and he uses that equipment, the better he becomes. Now let's think about some other verses along this line of having ourselves equipped and ready. Remember, the Scripture is so the man of God may be perfect or equipped or complete, thoroughly furnished. Listen to these texts. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. Paul said, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Did you get that? The word of God, truth, effectually works in us. When you and I study a passage, and we learn from that passage and the truth that is within that passage, as all of God's Word is truth, John 17:17, that when we learn of these passages, we are able to, after a while, if you will, know book, chapter, and verse on a matter. That we're able to take the Word of God and to understand it and to study it. and that we're able to apply that in our lives. Whereas once we may have been a part of the world, maybe we engaged in things we should not. The closer we draw to God's Word, the more that we grow. And God's Word is effective in your life and mine. Now listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Peter says, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." Did you get that part? Peter says God's divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. My friend, there will not be anything else coming to this world. Now watch, that will give us life and godliness. Now watch. "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And that's 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. So Peter says we have all things that can pertain unto life and godliness. And it's through the knowledge of God that we have that. What is the knowledge of God? What has God revealed unto us? Well, God has revealed His Word unto us so that we may know, that we may understand, that we may know the things that God has given us. And He has given us our Word, or rather His Word, that we may use. Now, with book, chapter, and verse, let's think for just a little bit about what we've talked about today. We know that God's Word is the best thing to know. You and I can know God's Word, and each time we gather together, that's our aim. We want to sit down and know the Word of God. We can do that by looking at the books, the chapters, and the verses. 66 books are in the Bible, and they read as one. Chapters and verses allow us to know and to look and to research of what we need to know. God's Word indeed is the best thing to learn and to know, and it's the best Word to convict us, to help us correct our lives, to help us to live better lives, to help us to live for God and faithful for Him. God's Word will convict us. It tells us when we're wrong, but instruction in righteousness, it lifts us when we are right, right in God's eyes. And then we think about it's the best Word to help us learn, to help us grow, to help us be what God would have us to be, that we can become complete or perfect in the biblical sense. God's Word indeed is the best thing. And as we study God's Word together here on book, chapter, and verse, we're just able to simply take a text such as 2 Timothy chapter 3 and to work with it and to understand God's will for our lives. There'll be other passages we'll look at as well, but we'll know from 2 Timothy chapter 3 that this is the Word that will help us to learn, to know, to convict us, and to strengthen us as we press onward. One last time. "That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." That's our book, chapter, and verse for today. Now again, stay tuned. We're going to spend just a few moments in song. And then after we come back with our singing, we want to come back. We'll wrap up the program, but don't leave till the very end. And I'll share with you some things that will help you in your study of the book and the book's chapter and verse within.
Sweet hour of rest that calls me from the
God's Word is the best thing. The best thing to learn, to convict, and to know. Thank you for joining us in our study. And please know any way that we can help you in your search, in book, chapter, and verse, we will do our very best. We'd love for you to know more of the Word of God, to believe it, to repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and to be buried with Him in baptism, and to begin a good walk in a faithful life. We would love to be able to help you here at Book, Chapter, and Verse. Please let us hear from you and let us know how we can help your pursuit of truth. I'm Jeff Archie, and thank you for joining us today on Book, Chapter, and Verse.
Wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words
of life.